So we are holding on Sadiq Gimel on the Bays. Bit past the middle of the Amud, the line begins with Anvay, about 10 lines from the end of the narrow lines.
Okay. We started talking about the six qualities of Moshiach. In particular, we were talking about the six measures of barley or barley grains or whatever that Boaz gave Ruth, symbolizing that she and he together are going to have six special descendants, each of whom has six special qualities. And we discussed David and we discussed Moshiach.
But they're very unspecific, these qualities.
By David, we said, for example, not every tzaddik has the ability, to be able to come to a conclusion, al pi halacha, and we said Shaul didn't have that quality.
Shaul wasn't
a tzaddik. He was a great person.
He was a king, not a tzaddik.
He was a great person. He wasn't a tzaddik gomer, maybe, but he was definitely a great person. Anyway, then we discussed the six qualities of Mashiach, and then we discussed another thing, that Mordach Vadoyin. Mordach Vidoyin, that Mashiach will have the unique ability to be able to judge by smell, to be able to sniff out who are the tzaddikim and who are the rishayim. So in this connection, the Gemara says, Ben Kuziva, which in history is known as Bar Kochba, Tautin Shninu Palga, he ruled for two and a half years. There were different periods during his whole revolt, but there was a period over there when he actually... Yeah, this is 50-60 years after the Churban. There was a period over there when he ruled, actually. They found coins from him, whatever. So there was a period when he actually had rulership. Rashi, by the way, interestingly, that he was the king after the, that he was a king after the time, well, Rashi says, Mi Malchi Hurdus Haya, but it's actually Acha Malchi Hurdus. He was after the kings from Hurdus' dynasty. And the reason why Rashi mentions that is because later on in the Perek, in a few blocks, the Gemara is going to mention the period during and after the Second Beit Mikdash, when the Jewish people had kingship. It mentions the kingship of Hurdus, because as much as he was a Rashi, he was still a Yid. And after that, Malchus ben Kuziva, and that's it. After that, there wasn't Jewish kingship. Anyway, so Ben Kuziva, Moloch Tautin Shnino Pagi, he ruled for 2.5 years. Omelohu L'Rabbanan, Ano Mashiach. He says he was a
Kohen.
No, where do you see that he was a Kohen? Omelohu L'Rabbanan, Ano Mashiach. He says to the Rabbanan, I am Mashiach. Omrulay, so they said, well, but Mashiach saved the Mordach Vidoyin. Well, by Mashiach it says, as we discussed, that he knows how to smell and therefore and judge on the basis of that. Nefsi Anani Mordach Vidoyin. Let's see if you have that ability to be able to smell out and be able to judge.
Never asked the Rebbe.
Kivin de Chazir, the Rebbe never said he's Mashiach. Kivin de Chazir delay Mordach Vidoyin, when they saw that he was not able to smell and be able to judge on that basis, Katluhu, they killed him. Now, what is it?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's interesting. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim that Mashiach does not have to show oisus or moifsim. Mashiach does not have to do anything beyond the natural order. And the Rambam goes on to say that the Chachamim thought that Ben Kuziva was Mashiach. Rabbi Akiva in particular thought that he was Mashiach, as we'll say later in the parak. But in the end, it turned out, and then Nerag Barbonis, he was killed because of his Averus. But we see the Chacham didn't ask him any oisus or moifsim. So the Rambam immediately asks, what about our Gemara? Where we see they asked him a great moifsim. So the Kesef Mishnah,
it says
over here, they asked him to be able to smell and be able to judge on that basis. That's a great motive. That's something beyond Teva. So the Kesef Mishnah, and the Rambam explains over there that the machlokas between Rashi, first, and then the Ravid says, anyway, it does say over here they killed him. So what do you mean, Nerag Bavonis, like he was killed by the Goyim or whatever? So the Kesef Mishnah explains the Rambam would understand that since the Rambam holds, like Shmuel said, like we quoted Shmuel the other day, saying that the only difference between Yemos and Mashiach and now is Shibud Malchus, that we're not going to be ruled over by the Goyim. Other than that, Olam Kamin Hagin Noyig, then the Rambam is consistent with that. He doesn't have to say that this Gemara is the final word on it. He can say that in fact Ben Kuziva did not have to show that he's Mordech the Goyim. And therefore, and the Chacham accepted him as Mashiach just on the basis that Yuchum Lechemes Hashem, Vinatseach, etc., that he was doing the very...
The Rambam says we don't know what's going to happen.
The Rambam says we don't know the specific order of events, but the Rambam describes how we know somebody is the Cheskas Mashiach, how we know somebody is Vadeh Mashiach. So in this case, the point is that Rambam says, that Rambam holds, since Yemotza Mashiach does not necessarily have to include things beyond nature, except for Ches HaMesim, but fine, that's another matter. Therefore, neither does it have to be that he doesn't necessarily have to have this ability to be Mordech Vidoyin. Where the Ravid, who holds that Yemos HaMashiach is going to be a time beyond nature, then he would understand, like our Gemara says, so the Rambam would hold that our Gemara is not meant l'halacha. The Rambam, because, they asked him if Mordech Vidoyin, but there's other Gemaras that imply, there's a Yerushalmi, for example, that when Rabbi Akiva saw Ben Kuziva, he said, this is Melech HaMashiach. without asking from an oyster or moipus. The Rambam can be holding like that. The Rambam can, Rabbi Akiva says, yeah. The Rambam mentions over there that Rabbi Akiva was his noisa kalim, was his arms bearer, yeah. Anyway, so, okay, aside from that also, you have different other beforeshim talk about different angles on it. Katluhu doesn't necessarily mean the Chachamim killed him. It may mean just that the Chachamim, that they just mean he was killed by the Goyim. The Chachamim saw that he's not Mashiach, and in the event, he ended up getting killed by the Goyim. The Yad Ramah wants to say, if a person claims on himself he's Mashiach, and it turns out he's not, that was the case over here, then he's like a false Navi. A false Navi gets executed, so does he. So therefore, he would understand that's why the Chacham did it. According to the Yad Ramah, he would understand that actually the Chacham killed him. Again, the Rambam doesn't agree with that. Okay.
Why is it? What is
because
it?
He says, Katluhu can mean that the Goyim killed him. Shenerag Bavonis, as the Rambam says. That he was killed because of his Avera. Okay. Fine. Now getting back to the six descendants of Ruth with the six qualities. So we discussed David, we discussed Mashiach. The other four, Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. Where do we see they each had six special qualities?
They're all descendants of Ruth.
The Gemara is going to discuss soon that they were all, the Gemara is going to discuss soon an opinion that they were all from Shevet Yehuda. They were all descended from David. In which case, they're descended from Ruth. Dichtivu, it says on them like this. Nebuchadnezzar told his officials to bring from Eretz Yisrael boys, Asher Ein Bahem Kol Mum, who have no physical defects, number one, the Tovei Mara, who are good-looking, Umaskila Mechol Chochma, who are wise in every kind of Chochma, the Yodei Das, who understand knowledge, Umavine Mada, and are able to comprehend understanding, and Meforshim say over there means that they're, and Meforshim say over there, one means they're able to understand what other people are saying, the other is that they're able to clearly explain themselves. Anyway, that's number four. That's five. And number six, that they have the strength to be able to stand at attention in the king's palace. Hello? Ololamdam sefer ulashon kastim, and that they should have the ability to learn the script and the language of the kastim. So those are the six qualities. And the point is, it's a foreign language. It's something that takes skill to learn it. The point is, so those are the six qualities that they had.
What's the reason?
What's the reason? He wanted them to be courtiers. No, that's nothing to do with Mashiach. We're saying six descendants of Ruth, each of whom had six qualities. David had the six qualities that we mentioned yesterday. Mashiach had the six qualities, Ruach, Chochmo, Vina, Ruach, Eitzel, Gvura, etc. Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah had these six qualities that I mentioned in the following. Okay. So the Gemara asks, let's understand what some of those qualities mean. Maya she'en b'hem kol mum. What does the pasuk mean when it says they have no defect in them? And it means the word mum is actually spelled as an aleph, implying also the word ma'uma, like nothing at all. So not just like a no gross physical defect. What does it mean? Amar b'chama b'chananya b'chanina afilu kiribya b'kusilta lehavavuhu. They didn't even have a puncture mark from bloodletting. Like even a minor little scar like that, or Marshall says it doesn't even mean from bloodletting itself. It means even a tiny little scratch, such as you would get from bloodletting, they didn't even have that. They were completely physically perfect. So the rest of them we understand what Tovei Maro Maskila Mechol Chochma means. What about the last one, Vasha Koyach Behem Lamed Behechal HaMelech? What does it mean that they have the strength to stand in the king's palace? What's great about that? This teaches us, it means that they would be able to hold themselves back. They'd be able to forcibly hold themselves back as long as they're in front of the king from laughter, and from unnecessary speaking, and from sleeping. That like this, there shouldn't be a gnai in front of the king. And that they're able to hold themselves back when they have to go to the bathroom. They're able to stay there at attention. All of these, Mipnei Emes Malchus, because of out of fear, out of respect for the king. So that's Asher Koyach Behem Lamed Behechal HaMelech, that they have that ability to be able to be there and then be at attention and be able to control their bodily functions for a very long time. The pasuk continues, Vayiyu Bahem Mibnei Yehuda, among these boys who were brought from Eretz Yisrael, among them were from Bnei Yehuda, Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. So what does that mean? Amr Rav Elazar, Kulam Mibnei Yehuda. It means that all these four were from Shevet Yehuda, which is what we said before, that they're all descended from Rus. But Rav Shmuel Ben Nachmeni, Amr Rav Shmuel Nachmeni says, no, the word Mibnei Yehuda only refers to Daniel Mibnei Yehuda. When it says Mibnei Yehuda, Daniel means only him. Hanani Mishael Azariah, Mishael Shvatim. He holds that Hanani Mishael Azariah were from other Shvatim, which means that he disagrees with the Jerusha before about the six barley grains and the six people. Because according to him, you don't have six people.
All the people part of Shevet Yehuda don't descend from Ruth.
No, but the point is, if we're saying that Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, if we're saying that they are all from Bnei Yehuda, then we will understand that it means specifically they were descended from David. But if they're from other Shvatim, then not necessarily.
No.
Okay.
What do you mean not necessarily?
Because they're from other Shvatim. Well, they can't be descended Ben Ahaben from David. They could be descended through the mother's line, but yeah.
Okay. They the not all of them have to be. Why do they have to be from
David? They don't have to be from David, but the Gemara is going to quote now. The Gemara is going to quote now a pasuk. The Gemara is going to quote now a pasuk that was told to Chizkiyahu that descendants of his are going to be servants in the palace of the king of Babel, and according to one opinion, that refers to all four of them. According to the other, it only refers to Daniel. So, we have a pasuk. The pasuk tells a story that after during the whole period when Chizkiyahu is being threatened by Sennacherib, which the Gemara is going to talk about soon, that whole story. During that period, also Chizkiyahu became very sick, and eventually a net happens. He recovers, and then afterwards, messengers from the king of Babel come to visit him. We'll see later on in the next couple of blocks, the Gemara will discuss exactly why they did. Anyway,
he wanted to kill him.
No, the king of Babel, not of Asher. The king of Babel. Anyway, Chizkiyahu showed them everything around his palace and everything around the Beit Mikdash. The Navi Yeshaya is very upset with him. He comes with a message from the Eidishta that as a punishment for that, he says, among your descendants who come from you, that you are yet going to father, Yukohu, some of these descendants of yours will be taken, and they will be sarisim in the palace of the king of Babel. Because he showed everything off to those to the king of Babel, to the king of Babel, therefore he's just a descendant.
He
showed off things in the Beit Mikdash. Also, yeah, the Medrash says he even showed off the Luchos in the Ora, and yeah.
He wanted to
make a Kiddush Hashem, whatever it is, but it was wrong of him. Yeah. Rashi, by the way, mentioned in last week's parasha, in Parashas Bereishis, when it says where they write that the Eibishter calls to Adam and asks him, Ayeka, and later on by Cain, that the Eibishter asks him, where is your brother? Rashi points out over there that the same way as Cain, for example, answered wrongly, instead of saying, I don't know, am I my brother's keeper? He should have said, what do you mean you're the Eibishter? You know everything. The same way Chizkiyahu made a similar mistake when the Navi comes to him and asks him, so who are these guys who came?
You should know,
you're the Navi. Instead, he says very proudly, they're from Babel, look at this, people are coming from so far away, in my honor.
But you should know that you're the Navi is not very respectful.
No, it's okay. What are you asking me? I understand you're trying to ask me in order to get into a conversation, so he shouldn't be proud of it. He should explain what those get. Okay, anyway.
But what, this people came from the king himself, or messengers?
No, it wasn't messengers of his. There's messengers of his. We'll discuss later on in the Gemara on Sadiq Bob. The Gemara is going to discuss why this king of Babel sent messengers in the first place. But anyway, whatever his name is, Merodach Baladon. We'll discuss later. But anyway, the point is that
he's being hospitality.
No. It's Chizkiyahu is being hospitable, but still, there's being hospitable, and then there's going overboard. So anyway, so the Navi tells him that among. So that's the question. Why are they called? That's the question. Why are they called sarisim? Now, Marsha points out many times in Tanakh we have the word sarisim, and it just means ministers in a palace or whatever. But here, since it's said as part of the punishment, so evidently there must be a different meaning to it. My sarisim, Rav almost sarisim mamish. Rav says it means literally they were castrated, as goyim used to do to their courtiers in those days. So this way they can't have family. This way they can be completely devoted to the service of the king. Rav Chanina says they're called sarisim because in their times Avodah Zarah was castrated, in the sense like it lost its potency. Like now, after the whole story with Hanani Mishal Bazaya and Ruchanesser's statue that we discussed yesterday, many people stopped believing in Avodah Zarah. In fact, Ben Yoyada says the expression Shinistarsa is an interesting one. The implication is, had Nebuchadnezzar been successful, that everybody's going to bow down to a statue, he would have made many other statues like this, because it didn't work out, then therefore he stopped. So therefore it's like it lost its potency. It's now castrated and it's not going to have any more children, so to speak. Okay. So the Gemara says, Bishleim Lamando Amashin Issar Sabah Dezorah B'yameim. I can understand, according to the opinion, that a Dezorah was castrated in their time. Hainu Dechziv, therefore we can find, the Pasuk says, after they got out of the furnace, or the Pasuk says, V'chaval lo Yisai Behoin, there was no wound, there was no physical defect in them. Elamadama Sarisim Mamish, but if you say they were castrated, that's a big physical defect. My Chavalo Isai Baharin, what do you mean? There was a physical defect in them. Then says Chavla de Nura. Fine, Rav would say that it means they weren't harmed by the fire. Doesn't mean they couldn't have been harmed by something else earlier. Although the Yerushalmi actually has an interesting explanation of it. They were castrated by Nebuchadnezzar, but then actually being in the fire, they were healed afterwards, and thus we learned yesterday that according to one opinion, they eventually moved to Eretz Yisrael and had children. Okay, what about the Ksivereach Nurle Adas Behoin? But the pasuk continues that there was no smell of fire on them. So obviously, if there was no smell of fire, then they weren't harmed by the fire. Why would the pasuk need to point that out? That's what it means. Lechav lov lorecha means not only they weren't harmed by the fire, but there wasn't even a smell of smoke on them. Still doesn't mean they might not have been castrated earlier.
It's unlikely. I mean, if it was...
No, according to Rab, that's what it means, that Nebuchadnezzar castrated them when he took them to the battle. Okay. Fine. The Shlem and the Amashini Star Sabbat is Arabimim. Again, we can understand easily, according to Rab Chanina's understanding, that they're called Sarisim because of a Dezara was castrated, was emasculated in their times. Thus you find the Navi Yeshaya says, we have it in Aftarda for fast days. So says Hashem to the Sarisim who observe my Shabbos, and Abish promises them rewards. And that's referring to Hanani Mishael Vazariah. So if you say Sarisim is meant as a compliment to them that they were able to destroy the power of Avodah Zarah in that time, then that's good. Elul Mandama Sarisim Mamish, but according to the opinion, means that Nebuchadnezzar literally castrated them. Mishtoi Krov Gnusa de Tzadiki. Why is the Pasuk mentioning a derogatory thing about them? Fine, it's not their fault, but still, it's something that doesn't need to be mentioned unnecessarily. The answer is according to Rav Hava Havavahu. Both things are true. They were Sarisim physically. They also accomplished that because of them, Avodah Zarah lost its potency. So therefore, the Pasuk can be using Sarisim in the positive sense. But according to Rav Chanina, they also had it in the negative sense that they themselves were castrated. That's the word it uses. Okay. Fine. Bishleim lamando amas Sarisim mamish. Fine. Now we can ask, though, according to Rav, who says they were literally castrated, haynu dechtiv, thus the pasuk continues, what's the reward for them for keeping Shabbos? The Eveshta says, beveisyu v'chomo, say, I'll provide for them in my house and in my walls of Yerushalayim, Yad Vashem, a place and a name, this is where the Israeli thing, Yad Vashem, that's where they got their name from, Toiv mi bonim mi bonis, better than sons and daughters, because they themselves are not going to be able to have children, so the Eveshta promises them that instead they'll have something that's better, that they'll have a fame that's better than sons and daughters. El Mandomash and Iktar Savat is Arabi name, according to Rav Chanina, that nothing happened to them physically,
so
and they'll have a name, they'll have a fame in the world, and in the Beit Mikdash in Yerushalayim, that'll be better than having physical children. Yeah. So, but according to Rav Chanina, that should establish that as Arami Yemeim, my tov mibonim mibonis. What do they need? Something better than sons and daughters? They can have sons and daughters. They still have the ability.
The word is used to...
Well, that's the question. What the Pasuk means is that it will be better than children that they already previously had, who died. The Eveshta promises, even though their children, they did have children, and those children died, the Eveshta promises that the fame and the chus that they'll have for what they stood up to Nebuchadnezzar will be better than that. But they did have the ability to have children.
Well, if they had children, have better children.
But that's according to Rav Chanina, it's not Nixar Sur. According to Rav Chanina, it's not Nixar Sur. But the point is, the Eveshta is saying, even if you don't end up having living children, don't worry about it because you'll have something better than that. Now, we said, Yad Vashem, Bevesi Yuv Chemosa, Yad Vashem, that you'll have in the Eveshta's house, in the Beis Mikdash, and in the walls of Yerushalayim, you'll have a place and you'll have a name. You'll be famous for the Kiddush Hashem that you accomplished in the world.
Temporary.
It's not temporary. What are you talking about? It's the Adyam Azeh we talk about, the Kiddush Hashem they did.
Who's
that? Kanani Mishra Bazar. Yeah. Okay. My shame olam etim layashela yikaris. What is that same pasuk continues? The Eveshta says, I will give him an eternal name which will never be cut off. So he was him, not them. So who's the him? And what's the name forever? Amra Panchum, Dorosh, Bakapora, Bitsipori, Bakapora gave a Dorosh in Tipori, Zeph Sefer Daniel, Shanikra al Shmo. This refers to Sefer Daniel, which is named after him. Hanani Mishael Vazariah, they're famous for what they did, but they don't have a name, they don't have a book of Tanakh named for them. Daniel has the unique thing, not unique, there's other people in Tanakh who have names of Sfarim named for them, but from that period, he's unique that he has a Sefer name for him. That's the shame, that's because he had a special course, I guess, but that's the shame Olam that he's given. The Chidah points out, shame is the same gematria as Sefer. The Foshim talk about different reasons why he needed that special chus. Why shouldn't he have the sefer called after him? It's all about things that happen involving him. And they give different reasons. One of them actually, we learned yesterday that Nebuchadnezzar tried to worship him as a getchka. So maybe Taka's name ought to have been erased, like a getchka's name ought to be erased. The chiddush is that no. Okay. Fine. So now the Gemara, now speaking of Sfarim that are or aren't named for people, the Gemara asks, Mechti, let's consider. Now, we have one of the 24 Sfarim of Tanakh is Sefer Ezra. Sefer Ezra is about, it's a little less than 700 psukim long. The first part of it, the first 200 odd psukim, were written by Ezra. The remaining 400 odd psukim were written by Nehemiah. So you have much more that Nehemiah wrote than Ezra. But the Sefer is called Ezra. So the question is, Mechti, Kol, hello, Kol mili de Ezra, everything, meaning the majority of what is in Sefer Ezra, Nehemiah ben Chachalia Aminu, Nehemiah ben Chachalia actually said them and wrote them. Nehemiah ben Chachalia, my time, later, Ikri Sefer Al Shmei. So why is the Sefer not called for him? By rights, it should be called Sefer Nehemiah rather than Sefer Ezra.
But you're saying everything is lost.
Not every, okay. So actually, it's interesting. Rabbi Heber in his Sefer Kol Yisrael points out on the basis of another Gemara that it may even be nowadays we have, well, by the way, it is divided into Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah. I'll tell you in a second what the Chidah says about that. But but even within the part that we call Sefer Ezra, the first 10 chapters of it, he argues in a Sefer over here, Rabbi Heber, that maybe only the first six chapters and a few psukim were written by Ezra, and maybe even after that was written by Nehemiah. So in that case, you have out of 23 chapters that make up the Sefer, you have only six were written by Ezra, and the other 17 by Nehemiah. So, but even if not, it's 10 verses 13, and the chapters in Nehemiah are much longer. The whole Sefer, the part that's called Nehemiah is almost twice the size of Sefer Ezra. That doesn't mean everything, literally. Ruba Kukuli. So the question is, why is the Sefer not named for Nehemiah?
Gave the name of the Sefer Tanakh.
The when they set up Tanakh. Now, by the way, before we continue, okay, so let's continue with the reasons why he didn't have it, and then we'll talk about what the Chidah says on this. The fact is, if you open up any printed Tanakh nowadays, you will find an Ezra and a Nehemiah. So what's going on with that? So wait. Okay. Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba says because he asked for credit for himself for the mitzvahs that he did. Shenemah, he says in a few places in his sefer, Hashem, remember for me for good what I accomplished. Nehemiah. So therefore, because of that, he lost the chance to have the sefer name for him. Question is, what's wrong? David nami meimam. David says the same thing in Tilim. Zachreni Hashem b'tzayin amecha. Hashem, remember me with your goodwill to your people. Pakdeni b'shurotecha, and remember me when it comes to saving. So David also says Zachreni. The answer is David rachmi hudkaboi. David is davening for rachmonus from Eivishdir. Nehemiah is sort of saying like Hashem, you owe me one, because he's mentioning his chosim. The Rabbi Yonis and Eivishdir points out a nuance also. David uses the Shem Havaya, which is the Shem of Rachman, implying I don't deserve it, but Hashem, please have Rachmanus on me. Nehemiah uses Elikai, implying I deserve it. Mitzad Midas Adin.
Why not?
Why he did that? Whatever, but he did. What about him? Elikad Meir Aneni.
Yeah,
that's different. Yeah, we're not we're appealing today.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Aren't they both totally discussed that's why they both do with all the discussed about them?
Well, no, but David is asking that Hashem should remember him for good. Nehemiah is saying that Hashem is saying, Hashem, remember my mistress for good. Okay, it's a difference. Mind you, I mean, both of these, as the Gemara mentioned in Rosh Hashanah, both these psukim, that we can't use them for psukim of Zichronis on Rosh Hashanah, because you can only use Zichronis that are in the plural form for the whole Jewish people. Rabbi Yosef Amar Mishmifnesh Sipa Begnusan Shorashonim. The reason Nehemiah lost the chance to have his sefer named after him is because he spoke derogatorily about those who came before him. Shenemah, the pasuk says, now Nehemiah was the governor of Eretz Yisrael. He had been appointed by the king as the governor of Eretz Yisrael. Dachshaster, Yavesh, he has a few different names. Anyway.
Yeah,
they lived in the same time.
He was his advisor.
Yeah, he was his cupbearer, actually. He was his Saramashkim, and then he asked for permission to go to Eretz Yisrael and rebuild the walls of Yerushalayim, and the king appointed him governor over there. So he describes how he was trying to make things, he was trying to make the burden of taxation easier for the people. And he says, on the other hand, the earlier governors who came before me, they made things very hard for the people. They took from them taxes to pay for bread and wine, besides for 40 silver shekels. And he says, I didn't do that. So therefore, he's speaking derogatorily about his predecessors. Even by including in general all the governors, he's also by implication including Daniel, who is greater than him. And we know this actually because Daniel, so the Gemara knows that he was, and the reason why the Gemara knows this is because at the beginning of Sefer Ezra, it describes that the king of that time, Kodesh, when he announced that the Jewish people can go rebuild the Beis Mikdash, he appointed somebody named Sheish Batzar as the new governor of Eretz Yisrael, and the Medrash explains that Sheish Batzar is a nickname for Daniel, because he lived through Sheish Batzar, he lived through six Tzoris in his lifetime. So So therefore, Daniel was a previous governor before Nehemiah. If Nehemiah is saying in general, all the governors before me were B'met, then that means that he's speaking about Daniel as well. So therefore, he lost the chance to have his paper name.
But not just because he alluded to Daniel, because he spoke
Hoshana. No, but if it's true, then I mean, he's pointing out what he's doing as opposed to them. But the point is, he shouldn't have spoken in general. He shouldn't have spoken like that, and especially not against Daniel. Now, the Chidah points out an interesting thing. The fact of the matter is, again, you open up any Tanakh nowadays, you will find the Sefer Ezra, you will find the Sefer Nehemiah. It is divided. Now, the straightforward thing is the Goyim divided it, same way as they divided up the chapters, same way as they divided up Sefer Shmuel and Malachim and Divrei Yomim each into two parts. They chose to decide to divide Ezra and Nehemiah. The fact of the matter is, though, it is accepted by us Jews as well. Haloi Dovahu, how does it come about? How did the Eidishter allow such a thing to happen based on our Gemara? He says an interesting thing. He brings from the Sefer Gulgulin Neshamas that actually Rabbi Gamliel, the one who was deposed for a while in favor of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, was actually a Gilgul of Nehemiah. He says that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who was descendant of Ezra, was actually a Gilgul of Ezra. Rabbi Gamliel was a Gilgul of Nehemiah. So therefore, the humiliation that he suffered during that whole episode is enough to be mechaper for what Nehemiah did that the Gemara is describing over here. And therefore, the Eidishter eventually arranged it that he gets to have his Sefer named for him after all. So by rights, now the Gemara points out most of the Sefer is in Nehemiah's words. You would think the whole Sefer should have been renamed for him, but the fact is you can't take away that thing from Ezra. If it originally was named for Ezra, it wouldn't be fair to take away the name for him, but therefore it came about that you have a Sefer Ezra and you have a Sefer Nehemiah.
Nehemiah was a Gilgal from...
So that's no. Rambam Gamliel was a Gilgal. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who they appointed instead of Rambam Gamliel, is a descendant of Ezra, and according to this, he's also a Gilgal of Ezra. Yeah.
So
the division came through the Goyim, but the fact that it's accepted, yeah, it's also Shmuel.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, there is also, I mean, the Chidah doesn't mention this particular point, but when you think about it, Shmuel and Malachim and Divrei Yomim, fine, each of those is a long Sefer, each of those is 1,600 Sukkim, so it's easier to understand why they divided them. Ezra and Nehemiah together is less than 700 Sukkim. They had no particular reason to divide it because of its length, except for this thing that had to be done by Ashkach Prat.
What a difference with Moshe Rabbeinu, who asked not to be included in Sefer.
That's if the Hashem doesn't forgive the Jewish people, but okay. All right.
But still.
Anyway, let's go on. Umanolan de Godom Imenu. Where do we know that Daniel is greater than Nehemiah? Like this. Dichtiv, you have a pasuk in Daniel, and he's describing one of the visions that the Eidishter showed him of the four kingdoms that are going to dominate the Jewish people till Mashiach comes. He says, V'ra'isi ani Daniel levadi et amara. He says, I, Daniel, alone saw this vision. However, the other people who were with me did not see this vision. But a great fear, a great trembling fell on them, and they ran away to hide. So we have to ask, who are these Vahanoshim Ashahoyu Ivilayora Samara? Or Man Nino Anoshim? Who are these people that Daniel is describing were with me? And like he's saying a chiddush that they didn't see. It has to be people who ordinarily should have been able to see it. Elamai, they didn't. Who are they? Amr Rabbi Yirmiyah, he came to Chiba Abba, the Chagez Chaya Malachi, who lived at that time. So therefore, so you see that even Chagez Chaya Malachi didn't see this vision, whereas Daniel did, implying therefore that Daniel is greater than Nehemiah, because at least Daniel is a Navi. Therefore, Nehemiah is not even a Navi.
Nehemiah was what?
Nehemiah was. He was an advisor to the king. He was a great yid. He was a great tzaddik. But he wasn't a navi. Yeah. So therefore, Daniel ranks higher than him. By the way, Rashi talks about in Megillah that not necessarily is Daniel officially included in the list of Nevi'im, but that's because none of his nevuahs was specifically he was never told the nevuah specifically go tell this to the Jewish people. But nevertheless, according to our Gemara over here, he can be considered a shtickel navi. Whereas Nehemiah was not.
Supplemental question on Nehemiah.
Yeah.
Could he say Lashnar on another?
It's a question, but then it's a fact. Okay, he felt that nevertheless Daniel had acted wrongly in this. All right. So the Gemara points out, Inu adifi minevi, iu odif minayu. In a way, Chagez Chaya Malachi are greater than Daniel. On the other hand, in a certain way, he's greater than them. Inu adifi minevi, they're greater than him, the inu nevi'i, iu lav nevi, because they were full-fledged Nevi'im, he was not. Again, not necessarily that he wasn't a Navi at all, but he was never sent with a Nevuah. Rashi explains in Megillah, where this Gemara is brought also, Daniel was never sent with a Nevuah to the Jewish people, whereas Chagez, Chaya, Malachi were. They're Sephardim, under Nevuah. They were appointed as Nevi'im to speak to the Jewish people, whereas Daniel got communications from the Eivishter, but he wasn't even told to write them down, but not necessarily to speak them. So in that sense, Chag is Chayim Malachi are greater than him. On the other hand, the Ihu, Odif Minayu, on the other hand, Daniel has a greater, is greater in a way than Chagas Chayim Malachi, the Ihu Chaza, because he saw this particular vision, the Inu Loi Chaza, and they didn't see it, as the Pasuk says.
How do they know?
That is, no, they didn't see it. Because the Pasuk says that they didn't see. They didn't see, but they were scared and they ran away. So the question is, well, if they didn't see, what were they so scared of? The answer is famous answer. Even though they didn't see it with their eyes, their mazel saw it. Their mazel, meaning the shirdish of their neshama, saw it. In other words, so they knew somehow that something is going on, but they didn't actually see it with their eyes, but nevertheless, that was enough to frighten them. Well, that's Hanani Mishav Azari. This is Chagas Chari Malachi, different groups. Okay. Omer Ravina, Shmamino, you see from this, Hai Mandem Mivis, that if you have a person who's afraid without knowing why, same thing. Even if he himself doesn't see it, it means his mazel, the shodosh of his neshama, sees that there's something wrong over here, and therefore he's getting scared. My takante, so what should you do to fix up the situation? What should you do in that case? Linshef miduchte aboga midi. Actually says linshef means lid, like jump. He should jump four amos from where he was. So like now he's putting himself in a new place. So now whatever it was that was affecting him over there is not going to
Mishanamakam Mishanamazel,
sort of like it. Inami, or another possibility, licorice Krishna. Let him say Krishna, and that'll save him from any harmful thing. Marsha, by the way, points out, we said briefly in the Mishnah, and we're going to discuss later on in the Gemara and Kof Aleph, that when it's allowed and when it's not allowed to use psukim for healing or whatever. But the thing is, Marsha says, even though this person is being frightened by something, he doesn't know what it is yet. There's no actual danger yet. There's just a premonition of danger. Therefore, he is allowed to say Krishna to save himself. We'll talk about it on Kof Aleph. We'll get into the details. Sakonos and Prashas maybe is different, but when it's for refuah in general, you're not allowed to use Sukkim for actual refuah. Okay. But here it's not refuah. Here. Good, but the fact of the matter is they were afraid and they ran away. So how do you do? What do you do to fix up the situation? Yeah. The ikoy b'mokam atinofus. Now, what happens if the person is standing in a dirty place where he's not allowed to say Krishna? Because the place has to be clean to daven or say Krishna. No, but if you can't, le mahachi, let him say like this. Let him say the following lachash. Iza the bekabcha shmeina minai. The goat in the house of the shochet is fatter than me. In other words, go bother the goats. You shed or whatever it is that's trying to harass me, that's trying to scare me, go bother the goats and leave me alone. Ben Yoyada points out, goats, specifically goats more are associated with Tumah, al-derech like the Shor la-Azazel. We mentioned that they're in the house of the Shoichet, which implies din, like a go take your dinim, go take your gurus or whatever over there and leave me alone.
When you go into a house and say the shedim, you say that?
No. This is a person who's feeling frightened and he doesn't know why. So either he jumps four amas from his place, or he says Krishma, or he says the flash to get whatever it is that's scaring him to leave him alone. Okay. Since we mentioned Chizkiyahu, the Gemara is now going to deal with over the next couple of blocks, off and on, with the whole story of Chizkiyahu and Sancheir. The story, in brief, is the Sukkim tell it to us at length in two places, in Sefer Melachim and in Sefer Yeshaya, and also briefly in Divrei Hayamim. The gist of it is Sancheir had conquered almost the whole known world, including he had conquered the Aseret HaShavatim and taken them into Galus. Now, a few years later, he comes back and conquers almost all of Eretz Yehuda. By the way, they found an ancient inscription from him where he describes, from his point of view, how he says, I captured 46 cities in Yehuda, and I exiled X number of people, and I got Chizkiyahu closed up in his city like in a cage, etc. He goes a whole boastful thing about what he accomplished. He doesn't mention what happened in the end, because, of course, we know from the Sukkim what happened in the end. His whole army was wiped out. Anyway.
And he also...
Well, eventually he was killed by his sons. That's a different matter. So, okay, I'll get to that. Anyway, he brings his whole army. He invades Yehuda. He conquers most of Yehuda. He attempts to conquer Yerushalayim. He's besieging it.
Why he invaded?
Because he wanted to rule the whole world. What do you mean, why? does a megalomaniac need a reason to invade?
He had appointees in Israel.
Yeah, well, no, what do you mean he had appointees now? He had, we learned earlier in the Masech, he had Shevna, even one of Chizkiyahu's officials, who figured we should surrender to Sancheiriv. Whatever, anyway. So, okay, so Sancheriv is besieging Yerushalayim with his whole army. He sends Rav Shakeh to give a whole speech saying, forget it, give up, you may as well surrender, you're never going to be able to beat me anyway, your army is too weak. And he goes on to say, Chutzpedik, that your God is too weak, none of the other gods of the nations have been able to save their nations, yours won't either, don't let Chizkiyahu talk you into rebelling more, etc., etc. To make a long story short, Yeshaya, the Navi, tells Chizkiyah, don't worry, the Ebeshter is going to take care of this guy. He's going to destroy him and show him who's boss. Comes Pesach night, or one of the nights of Pesach, the whole army is wiped out, and the next morning there's only a few survivors, as the Gemara is going to talk about later on how many there were left.
That was Chizkiyah.
This is in Chizkiyah's time. Sancheiriv now goes...
They came up and then they destroyed them? Or?
No, the Malachim came, whatever. We'll learn later on how exactly they were killed, but whatever. Anyway, so yeah, you have Sancheiriv, you have a few stragglers left, whatever. Sancheiriv goes back home to Nineveh, his capital. Then the end of the story is, the Gemara tells us later, that he takes a board from Noach's Teva and sets it up as a new Getchke for himself. And he promises that, you know what, Getchke, if you help me win back a new army and be able to continue my conquest, I'll bring two of my children as korban to you. Well, those two children heard it, didn't particularly like the idea. They assassinated him, and that's the end of Sancheiriv. So now we're going to get into the whole details.
That's why we took it.
Oh, yes. No, he did two of his kids.
And
whatever.
You mean my mom might be me?
So yeah, whatever. Yeah. Okay. So, starting with the pasuk says in Yeshaya, the Navi described that there's going to be a king who lamarbe hamisra. There's going to be an increase of rulership, or the shalom ein kates v'goymer, and there'll be a no end of peace. So what is this talking about? Omrav Tan from Dorosh Baka part of the Tzipori, mitnei ma kol mem shebe'emta teva pasuach v'zeh sotum. Why is it always in Tanakh, whenever you have a mem in the middle of a word, it's a regular mem sucha, an open mem? Here you have the word lamarbe is spelt in the pasuk. If you look at it in a Tanakh, you'll see the mem in this word lamarbe is a shloss mem. It's a closed mem in the middle of a word. In the middle of a word. Lamed mem resh beis hei. The mem is a mem stuma. Why? Like this, Bikish HaKadosh Baruch Hu lafis Chizkiyahu Mashiach. The Ebeshter planned to make that Chizkiyahu should be Mashiach, meaning that this pasuk L'marbe HaMisra is actually referring to Chizkiyahu in context. But the Ebeshter intended that he should be Mashiach. The Sancheiriv Gogomogog. The Ebeshter intended that the Sancheiriv and his army should be Gogomogog. That's it. They'll be the Mechamas Gogomogog. They get wiped out. Mashiach comes. But Amram Midas Adin Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Midas Adin argues to the Ebeshter, it won't work. Ribbono shel Olam, Uma David Melech Yisrael Shama Kama Shiras V'Tishbachas Lefanecha, Madoch King David, who said many songs and praises before you, Loi Asisei Mashiach, you did not make him Mashiach. Chizkiyah Shafisa Loikol Anisim Alalu, look at this Chizkiyah, you did him all these nisim. He was saved from Sancheiriv, he was saved from a dangerous, he was cured from a dangerous illness, V'Loi Omar Shira Lefanecha, and he did not say Shira before you. Taseu Mashiach, you should make him Mashiach. L'chach nistatim, therefore the mem is made into a shloss mem. Meaning, Rashi says, two reasons, a few reasons. Number one is the Ebeshter had this plan, and eventually it was sealed up, it was closed up. The plan didn't come to fruition. Therefore, the open mem became a closed mem. A second reason, Rashi says, is the Ebeshter wanted to close off the tzaras of the Jewish people. Mashiach will come, and that'll be an end to our tzaras. And therefore, the shloss mem represents that plan of the Ebeshter. It'll be an end to the tzaras. Because the Midas Adin had a valid argument. We have to talk about why Chizkiyah didn't say Shira and why that prevented him from being Mashiach. But wait. Then Rashi says a third explanation from his Rebbe that the reason is the Shloss Mem represents Chizkiyahu's closed mouth. He should have opened his mouth to say Shira, and he didn't. Therefore, it's a Shloss Mem.
Who was saying against him?
The Midas Adin was saying. The Midas Adin.
You must have been skilled to do it.
What?
You're not skilled. If you don't
what do you mean skilled? You say Shira because you feel that. So tackle why didn't Chizkiyahu say Shira? So they give many, many different reasons. Rabbi Yonatan Ivershit talks about an idea that Chizkiyahu felt that the nest happened primarily in the schus, not so much in the schus of the people, but in the schus of the fact that they're in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he didn't feel a need to say Shira for it. In fact, the Gemara is going to say soon that when Chizkiyahu didn't say Shira, the earth, meaning Eretz Yisrael, offered to say Shira instead of him.
And
the Ebeshter said he had to do it himself, whatever, but the point is that was his thought.
Shira means
to sing a song of praise to the Ebeshter. The Chassam Sofer says a verse that, hello?
Yeah,
The Chassam Sofer says, explains that Chizkiyahu thought that since the whole thing didn't happen in the schusim of him and the people, it happened as the pot, as the psuk in favor there in the schus of David HaMelech, therefore we figured it's not appropriate to say Shira. They give a lot of other different reasons. It may be that he thought that it's al derech ma'asi yodet tovim bayam ba'atamayim shira, that he or goyim were destroyed. It's not appropriate to say shira, but nevertheless, that wasn't true in this case.
They were destroyed.
Fine, but I mean, by kriyas yamsuf, we say that the Eibishter says to the malachim, it's not appropriate to say shira. On the other hand, the Jewish people did say shira, so that may have been a mistake. So that was his mistake. And then there's an idea. The Rogatchover says the Rogatchover says an idea that Chizkiyahu felt that. Chizkiyahu felt that it's not something to say, that it's not something to say hallel on, for any of these various reasons. However, since it was during Pesach and they were already saying chassi hallel anyway, as you do during the last 6 days of Pesach, they should have continued and said full hallel, and that was his mistake that they didn't
full
do that. Full hallel instead of just chassi hallel. Mm-hmm. There's also somebody says a verse. Somebody says a verse.
He doesn't do anything to
come away
from the fact that he woke up in the morning
of all of this. So the passage in Yeshaya, it mentions Michtav L'Chizkiyahu. It mentions a praise that he said to the Eibishter for the fact that he was healed from his sickness. But we don't find that he said a Shira for all these Nisim. So they're called Michtav L'Chizkiyahu. It's not Shira L'Chizkiyahu or whatever. This was like an open letter that he wrote to describe what happened. Anyway, there's another explanation that I saw that the vote is you have there's a pasuk in Oz Yashir and also in Yeshaya and also in Tilim. Oz Yivazimas Ka by Hilu Bishua, but in Yeshaya you have the extra word. We say it every Matzah Shabbos and Abdullah. Ki Oz Yivazimas Ka Hashem by Hilu Bishua. His mistake was he may have said some kind of Shira, but he didn't mention Hashem. He didn't mention the full name of Hashem. And that was a mistake. Yeah. So now, why does the lack of saying Shira should cause that? Because of that, we haven't had Mashiach for thousands of years. What's the verse? For that little detail. So one explanation that I think the Chidah brings is we find in a few places that when the Jewish people say Shira, the Eibishter forgives their averus. Therefore, over here, the Yidden had averus. Therefore, in this case, they didn't
that's
say Shira, so their averus were left. That is part. No. Well, that's it. Probably has something to do with that, but yeah. There's also the Maharal says the vort is if he didn't say Shira means he lacked Shlemos. Lacked Shlemos means he can't be Mashiach. Oh, the Rogatchover's vort actually is why Chizkiyahu didn't say Hallel because he thought Hallel only applies to a nest that happens to the entire Jewish people. Here, the Aseret HaShavatim were already in Golos. They only have two Shavatim. So he thought that it's not appropriate to say Hallel, but again, once they're already saying Chassi Hallel Pesach, they should have continued and said full Hallel, he says. Okay. Miyad Pascha Aretz va'omer l'fanav. So immediately the earth, Eretz Yisrael, spoke up and said to the Eibishter, Ribono shel Olam, ani emeres l'fanecha shira tachas tzadik zeh. Fine, I'll say shira for you instead of the tzadik. Va'aseu Mashiach. At least for it, make a Mashiach. Don't let that prevent Mashiach from coming. Pascha va'omer shira l'fanav. Sure enough, the earth started saying shira. Shenema, as the pasuk says, also in Yeshaya, miknafa Aretz, from the wings or from the edges of the earth, zmiras shemayna. We've heard songs. Tzvi la tzadik, tzvi, literally, the literal meaning of tzvi is deer, but the Gemara is going to explain that means tzivya, and it means the desire for the tzadik. And the earth is pleading with the Eibishter, almost sara olam lefanav, the sara of the world, some of the Mepharshim say it means the malach matat, says to the Eibishter, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, tzivyonai asei la tzadik zeh, do for the tzadik what he wants, that, and bring Mashiach. Oh, I should mention, tzivyonai, his desire. There is there's a mimer from the Rebbe Maharash where he explains the deeper idea of why Tzvi is associated with Torah Shabbal Peh and why it's associated with Mashiach, because the deer runs very fast and therefore it represents a direct hashpa from the Eibishter to us. Anyway, Yotza Baskel v'Omra. On the other hand, though, a Baskel came out and said, that won't work, I'm sorry. The Pasuk continues, that same Pasuk in Yeshaya continues, Rodili Rodili. Which means my secret is mine. In other words, I have the secret. I understand, the Eibishter says, what the ikuv is, what's preventing Mashiach from coming, the fact that Chizkiyahu did not say Shira, and that's it. I have my secrets. I know what's going on over here. Even you, the Sara Olam, do not.
So maybe it's not because he didn't say Shira.
No, in other words, the Eibishter is saying, if he had said Shira, that would have been the right thing. Now, like this, he didn't, and the opportunity is missed. I know the secret, therefore, I have the secret that I know that when Mashiach is actually going to come, it's not going to happen now. Okay. Novi, so then the Novi replies to that by saying, as the pasuk continues, oily, oily. It actually says oily only one time in the pasuk, whatever. Meaning, Ad Masai, how long is it going to be till Mashiach comes? Yes. Yotta Baskov Amra, Baskov comes out and answers with the continuation of the pasuk. Bogdim Bogdu, the treacherous ones are going to be treacherous. Ubeged Bogdim Bogdu, and the treachery of the treacherous ones is going to be treacherous, which means Va'omer Rav V'Tamer Rav Yitzchok Ad Ota Bazuzi Uvazuzi De Bazuzi. When is going to be the point when Mashiach comes? When you have the Jewish people are going to be plundered. Bazuzi means plundered many times. Or Marsha says Bazuzi or Bazuzi 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 means you're going to have one group that plunders them, and then you're going to have another group that plunders those plunderers and the Jewish people along with them. So once you have that, eventually then Mashiach is going to come. It's not going to happen now at Chizkiyahu's time.
So what is it to make about what we say here for 2 minutes?
That's a different. That's a different thing. Bazuzi or Bazuzi Bazuzi can also mean maybe that when we have that the spread out like biza, like spoils are spread out. I don't know. I mean, here the Gemara is
maybe it's a design when we don't do it. Yeah,
maybe could be. Okay. In that connection, there's another pasuk in a different chapter in Yeshaya that says Masa Duma, the burden meaning the nevuah about Duma. Eli, we'll see in a second. Eli Koda mi Seir, he calls out to me from Seir. Shomer Mami Laila, watchman, what's going on with the night? Shomer Mami Laila, over there, watchman, what's with the night? Meaning, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Oisim Malach Hamamuna Al Rucho is Duma Shmoi. The Malach in charge of the Neshamas is called Duma. Specifically, Marsha says it means the Neshamas in Gehenim. The Sar, the Malach in charge of Gehenim, is called Duma. Meaning, at this point, when it was about to, that Mashiach is about to come, and all these neshamas are finally going to get out of Gehenim, they were also pleading that it should happen. So they're asking Duma, they're asking the Malach in charge over there, what's going on? Omruloi, they say to him, Shomer Mami Laila, watchman of Gehenim, what's going on with the night? Why is there still a night of Golos? Shomer Mami Laila, what's with the night? When is the night of Golos going to be over? When is Gola going to come? And the answer is, in the next pasuk, Omar Shomer, the watchman says, Also, boiker v'gam loyla, morning will come, and also night. Meaning, Rashi says one explanation is also boiker. You think that morning has come? No, v'gam loyla. Right now, there's going to be night. Or Rashi says another explanation that also boiker, there will come a geula, but v'gam loyla. Meanwhile, there's going to be a long night of golus. Rashi says a few other explanations. It means that there's going to be a morning of the second base of mikdash, but then there's going to be a golus after it. It means that there's going to be a morning and a night. So again, it can mean there's going to be a temporary morning of the second Beis Mikdash, but after it, there's going to be a night of Golos before there's a permanent morning of Yemos Mashiach. Cool. It can mean also boiker. You think the morning should already come? No, but gam loyla, there's going to be a night yet to come. Or Rashi says another explanation. It can mean there'll be a morning, there'll be daylight for the tzaddikim, there'll still be also Lila, there'll still be punishment for the Rishayim. And he continues, if you seek, tiboyin means to seek out, if you see, like bomine in the Gemara, means to seek for an answer. If you're seeking, if you want to know, if you want Mashiach to come, boyu, you should daven, shuvu, and then do tshuva, esoyu, and then you can come. That's the formula for bringing Mashiach. Daven for it, do tshuva, and then you'll be able to return to the Eivishter and then have the Gula.
So that's what they did.
So people have been doing it throughout the generations, but obviously not enough.
The Eibishter seems to be saying it's not the time.
Well, here it's not the Eibishter, it's the Duma, it's Malach saying, but whatever, the point is that you know what, later on, we were going to have a whole sugi about Yemos Mashiach a little later in our parak, that's like Zayin, Tzadikhet, Tzadikhet. The Gemara discusses it, but there are different opinions. What, for you have the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that Yisrael is in Shuvah Miyadein Negolin. You have the event, and then the Rambam passed them that Sof Yisrael after Shuvah Galusan. Eventually, it's a given the Jewish people are going to do Shuvah Miyadein Negolin. So that's it. I mean, there's more to it than that. We'll talk about it there, but that's part of it.
Is you for 11 months? Or why are there so many people going to Shuvah?
Sometimes you have people who are in Gehenna longer than 11 months. 12 months is the normal amount. But sometimes you have people who are longer than that.
For real Rishayim is still
fine. For ordinary Rishayim, it can be 12 months. For some of them, for some high-class Rishayim, so to speak, it can be longer. Yeah.
Do you think there was a big accumulation?
Well, even if it's only one, that's still one too many. Okay. Tana Mishum Rapapius. We learn in a Braita in the name of Rapapius. Gnai hu lechizkia v'sayate. It's a gnai. It's a disgraceful thing for Chizki and his group of Chachamim who were with him. Shaloi Amr Shira, that they did not say Shira. Achapos ka'aretz v'amr Shira, until it had to be that the earth had to open up and start saying Shira. Shenema, this pasuk that we quoted in Knafa Aretz Mish Shemayna Tzvila Tzadik, the grammar. It is in Perek Shira, indeed, but it's originally a pasuk in Yeshaya. So it's a gnai for Chizkiah and company that they didn't think of doing it first. The Medrash, by the way, brings from a plot based on a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim that says that actually the real underlying reason, we talked about the various reasons why Chizkiah thought not to, but the Medrash says the real underlying reason is that Chizkiah was a little too much of a Baal Geyser. That he felt sort of like the Nissim were kind of deserved, as opposed to something that Medrash did purely out of chesed.
Couldn't it be thought that the Gilgal Dafka would not come? He knew. He had a feeling, and that's why he didn't say Shira.
He should have said Shira. The Eibishter would have decided, and we said over here that the Gula would have come. It's not his business to mix in. He shouldn't be mixing into the Eibishter's business. We have the famous thing in Brachos about him not getting married yet. Kayotze b'dover, after Omer, you have a similar kind of thing where you find a group of people who should have been expected to say something and didn't until somebody else came and did it on their behalf. The pasuk says, "Vayomi Yisrei Baruch Hashem Ashehitzolas." Come on, Yisrei comes to visit. He says, "Baruch, blessed is Hashem who saved you." Similarly, Tonim Hashem Rapapius, Gnai Hu L'Moshe V'Shishin Mirba, it's a Gnai from Moshe and 600,000 Jews. Shaloi Amru Baruch, that they did not say the expression Baruch, Ad Shabo Yisrei, Amru Baruch Hashem, until Yisrei comes along and says Baruch Hashem. Now, they did say Shira, unlike Chizkiyo didn't say Shira at all. They said Shira, but they didn't use the word Baruch in it. And what's the importance of Baruch? One idea is, we know in Chizidus, the idea of Baruch, we say every time we say Baruch, we say Baruch Ata Hashem, it means to bring down all the curse into the world. Baruch Meloshana Mavrech HaTagefen, bending down.
Can we say Baruch? It's from Yisrael?
No, but every time we say Baruch Ata Hashem, it implies that we want that Elokos should be brought down into the world. So by Moshe and company not saying it, means that they're saying, fine, the Nes happened, Elokos exists, but does it have to come down in Lamasa Masa Ratzvachem? Not necessarily. Until Yisrael came along and pointed that out.
The
fact of the matter is, they didn't say Baruch until Yisrael did. That's what we're saying. Okay, since we're mentioning Yisrael and we're mentioning that conversation he had with Moshe, the Gemara goes. So the Gemara interjects a minute to explain another pasuk in that connection. The pasuk is Vayichad Yisrael. The previous pasuk says Vayichad Yisrael. So what does that mean? Rav Shmuel, Rav Omer Shehev Cherev Chada Al Basore. Rav says it means he took a sharp sword and passed it over his flesh, and it was he gave himself a bris milah. By the way, the Marshal points out Yisrael was descended from Bnei Keturah. We learned before in the Masechta that Bnei Keturah are Chayev and Milah, at least according to some opinion. So according to that, what it means is he didn't have to do Milah, but he had to do Kriya. Kriya is unique to the Jewish people.
But that has to be done by the Yid. He was converting
himself. Okay, he's converting himself. Yeah, you find in a few places in the Gemara where Gerim gave himself the Bris Milah. There's different opinions, actually. There's a machlok in the Zvachim, whether he came before or after Mount Torah. Yeah. Shmuel says that no, what it means is when he heard about what happened to Mitzrayim, the ten Makas, and how they got drowned in the Yamsuf and all, his flesh became chidudim chidudim, like sharp peaks, like goosebumps. From fire, Rashi says actually kmotim kmotim, like wrinkles. That he felt bad for them. He felt bad for them. Omer Rav, so Rav says, or Papa says on the side, Hainu Damri, and she, this is like the expression, it says that people say, Giyura ad asora dori, a ger up to 10 generations from the original ger, his descendants for 10 generations, loitivza armoi kameh, don't make fun of a goy in his presence, because even within 10 generations, he still feels a certain affinity to that nation he came from. So the same way, Yisrael himself is a ger, okay, it's not 10 generations, but the point is he felt like he felt a certain affinity towards the Mitzrayim, and he felt bad. Rashi says that Yisrael was not the 10th generation because he's contemporary with the Mitzrayim. On the side of here, the Rabbi Akiva Eger brings in Gilyon Ashas from Rabbeinu Bechaya, who says that actually Yisrael was a 10th generation descendant of Chom, of Mitzrayim ben Chom. So therefore he is descended 10 generations earlier. He and the Mitzrayim had a common ancestor. Where Rabbeinu Bechaya knows that from, I don't know, but that's what he said. Okay. Now he wasn't American. Okay. Now we're going to get back.
Really?
Now we're going to get back to Sancheirav and Chizkiyah. Egypt is in Africa. Come on. Let's get back to Sancheirev and Chizkiah. The pasuk says, Lachain, therefore, the Eibishter says, because Sancheirev is priding himself on all his conquests and thinking that he runs the world, therefore, Yeshalach Ha'odin Hashem Tzvakes B'mishmanav Rozin. Therefore, the Eibishter, the master of the world, Hashem Tzvakes, is going to send in Mishmanav a leanness, a killing. So what does Mishmanav mean? The simple meaning of Mishmanav means it's fat ones. But Marshall points out not all of them, not all of his generals and soldiers and whatever necessarily were fat, so it has to have a different meaning. It means my be mishmanav rozen. Omer Hakadosh Baruch Hu yover Chizkiyahu sheyesh l'shmoina shemes. Let Chizkiyahu come with eight names in the pasuk. V'yiparam esancheirav, and through him Sancheirav will be punished. Sheyesh l'shmoina shemes. That Sancheirav also has eight names. That's be mishmanav melosh l'shmoina. What are the eight names? Chizkiyah, Dichtiv. The pasuk says, Ki yelad yulad lonu, bein nitan lonu. A child has been born to us, a son has been given to us. Vati amisra al shichmai, the rulership has been placed on his shoulder. In other words, he's the crown prince, he's going to eventually take over as king. Vayikra shmai, and his name is called Pele, Yoye, Kel, Dibur, Avi, Ad, Sar, Shalom. Eight terms that are the Gemara's understanding that all of those are descriptions of Chizkiyah. In pshat, not necessarily the Mepharshim on the pasuk say maybe many of them, maybe six or even all eight of them refer to the Eibishter, but Pele Yoyetz Keil Gibra Avi'ad, the Eibishter who has all those titles, called Chizkiyahu Sar Shalom. There's a different explanation. The Gemara over here is taking that all those eight terms refer to Chizkiyahu.
Why? What? Yeah.
That, therefore, he has eight names. Okay, so the question is, Vayikra Chizkiyah, what about the actual name Chizkiyah? That's a ninth name. The answer is that's not his real name. He's called that Shechizkai Ka because the Eibishter strengthened him. To help them, that he defeated his, that Sancheirav was defeated, that he was healed. So it's not his real name, so to speak. Dovrach, or another explanation, he's called Chizkiyah, Shechizik, as he saw Laviyam Shemashmayim, because he strengthened the connection between the Jewish people and the Eivishter, because he made them learn Torah, as we'll learn on Amud Beis. Okay, Sancheirav, where do we find Sancheirav had eight names? He helped them, he made them do Tshuva, he made them learn Torah, we'll learn on Amud Beis, yeah. Okay. Sancheirav, where do we see Sancheirav had eight names? Dichtiv there, you have different psukim that say as follows. Tiglath Pileser, Pilneser, Shalman Eser, Pul, Sargoin, Sargoin is in parenthesis because not really, it doesn't say that anywhere in the pasuk, Osnapper, Rabba, Vyakira. So Rashi again understands that each of these is meant as a separate name. In other words, so you have Tiglath Pileser is one, Pilneser is two, Shalman Eser is three, Pul is four, Sargoin is five, Osnapper is six, Rabba and Vyakira are seven and eight. Literally, Rabba and Vyakira mean the great, mean the great and the important one. But Rashi understands, according that the Gemara is saying that they're actually named of his. Some of the other Mepharshim say that maybe not. Maybe Tiglath and Pileser count separately, and they come up with eight in a different way. On the simple pshat level, by the way, these are different kings. I mean, for example, they found Assyrian inscriptions that refer to these different kings by their individual names. Tiglath Pileser is one king. Shalmaneser is another. The Gemara. There were four Sancheirav Apostles, yeah. But they're mentioned in connection with the previous Malchi Yisrael and Malchi Yehuda. The Gemara understands that they're all the same, that they're all different names for the same person. And Das Sofram on the Pasuk wants to say that maybe they tackle were different kings, but Sancheirav is the one who gave them the advice to do this kind of thing that the kings of Asher famously did, moving people from one country to another, like the Aseret HaShvatim into Golos and then bringing the Kusim, and therefore those kings can be all called by Sancheirav because he's the one who spearheaded what they did. Anyway, so that's eight names. Again, the question is, what about the name Sancheirav itself? The answer is that's not his real name again. He's called that Shetichosei Riv because his conversation was meant to incite arguments, was meant to incite fighting. Meaning, what do we have? Again, he sent Rav Shekei, this Yisrael Mumer, to argue to the Jewish people, to argue to the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, give up, surrender, don't listen to Chizkiyahu, go depose him and come surrender to me, and then you won't be besieged and he won't die from the siege. So he's trying to incite a rebellion, a Riv, against Chizkiyahu. Dovrach, another explanation, he's called Sancheirav, Shesoch v'nicher dvorim klapim ayla, because he spoke and snorted words of chutzpah against the Eivishter. Therefore, he's called Sancheirav. Amr Rav Yechanan, mipnei ma zocha oiter rosha l'knoisei as osnapper rabba v'yakira. Why does that rosha have the supposed to be called in the pasuk osnapper, the great and the important one? Why does he get those titles? Mipnei shalai sipa v'gnusa shalai Yisrael. The reason is because he didn't speak in a derogatory way about Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, part of Rav Shakeh's speech, where he's trying to convince the Jewish people to surrender, he says, if you surrender, I'll lift the siege. You won't die during of hunger and of the siege. You won't have to end up eating garbage and whatever. Eventually, though, I'll follow my usual policy, where I take the people of one country and deport them to another. He says, Ad boy, until eventually I return, I will take you to a land like yours. He doesn't say I'm going to take you to a land better than yours. In fact, he didn't speak derogatorily about Eretz Yisrael to claim that there's some other place in the world better than it.
Well, still derogatory. How can they be a land comparable to Eretz Yisrael?
Okay, but still, but at least it's not as derogatory as saying that there's something better. Yeah. The Gemara is going to say in a few lines that actually the Aseret HaShavatim did not do like that. They did claim that there are places better than Eretz Yisrael. So the Chayyav at least didn't do that. Yeah, we'll see. Okay, Rav and Shmuel. Now, Rav and Shmuel argue this that we're saying that Sancheirev said that. Sancheirev said that, I'll take you to a land like yours. Chad Om HaMelech Fikeachoya. One says he was a wise king for saying that. But Chad Om HaMelech Tipeachoya. The other one says he was a foolish king. You have the same Machloikas by Achashverosh, by the way. The Iyun Yaakov points out an interesting thing. What the underlying Machloikas is, the opinion that says that he's a Melech Chacham, him and Achashverosh, would hold, Melech Fikeach, would hold the Eivishta has, we see that from that, the Eivishta has the power to save the Yidden even from a Melech Fikeach. The other one who says that both the Melech Tipish, it shows that when the Jewish people are doing wrong, the Eidusha can give them over even in the hands of Melech Tipish. Okay, anyway. Lamanda Om HaMelech Pekeachalya, according to the opinion that he was a wise king because he knew not to say that I'm going to bring you to a land better than Eretz Yisrael. If I tell them I'm going to bring them to a land better than yours, Amru, they're going to say, Kamashakir, you're lying, there's nothing better than Eretz Yisrael. So therefore he was smart to not try to claim more than he could. According to the opinion that he was foolish, then what's the point of mentioning anyway? What would be the incentive for them to give in, and then they're just going to end up in a land exactly like theirs anyway?
He's trying to
convince them to surrender. Instead of that you're going to be rebelling against me, and I'm going to be besieging you, and you're going to die of hunger in there, you're going to be eating garbage and whatever, instead, surrender to me, and I'll treat you gently, and eventually I'll just do to you like I do to the other nations.
He's going to take them from that land to another one. It's not going to encourage them to surrender.
No, but the point is, at least, well, that's the point. If it's the same land, they have less of a reason to... No, but that's the thing. That's what we're saying, Melech Tipish. But, yeah, okay. Fine. Lahecha Agli Lahu. Where was he planning to take them into Golo? So actually, Rashi says, rather, the question is, where did Sancheirev actually take the Aseret HaShavatim? Where now he was planning, he was saying that he's going to do the same to the people of Yehuda. Mazutra Omer Lafriki. Mazutra says he took them to Africa.
How long before that?
There was 8 years before. But there was actually three waves of Golos of the Aseret HaShavatim, each one 8 years apart. First, Reuben and Gad and Chatzi Shevet Menashe, then Naphtali and Zvulun, and then the rest of the Shvatim, each one 8 years after the previous.
24 years before this.
So the first one was 24 years before this, yeah. Okay. Rav Chanina Amar Lahori Slug. Rav Chanina said he took them to the mountains of Slug, someplace, I don't know. Okay. The mountains of Slug. I don't know what's the name of the place.
Before that?
Before that was Africa. Two different opinions where he took them. Okay. Aber Yisrael, Sipur B'Gnosa Shal Eretz Yisrael. On the other hand, the Jewish people were not like that. They did speak in a derogatory way about Eretz Yisrael. When the Aseret HaShavatim were taken into Golos, like this, Kimotu Sois, when they came to a place, which later on was called Sois in Babel, Amru, they said, Shavya Ki Arin, this is as good as our land of Eretz Yisrael. So Eretz Yisrael, in particular Yerushalayim, is called Mesois Kol Aretz. So they said about, therefore this place was called Sois to represent what they said that this is as good as Eretz Yisrael. Kimotu Olmin, when they came to another place that was called Olmin, it was called that because Omru, they said Ka Olmin, it's like Yerushalayim, which is called Beis Olamin. And Kimotu Sois Trey, when they came to another place, which later on was called Sois Trey, Amri, they said Achan Trey, it's called Sois Trey because it's twice as good as Mesois Kol Ha'aretz. So therefore, that they spoke derogatorily about Eretz Yisrael to claim that some other place is twice as good as it. Getting back to Sancheirev, the pasuk
that halacha, it's not
a halacha per se,
no,
but
it's we know that.
Fine, that's not, I wouldn't say it's a halacha, but a person should have the sensitivity not to do that. A person should realize that Eretz Yisrael is the best of all lands. Yeah. Okay, the pasuk continues. The pasuk continues that how is Sancheir, this is the second half of the pasuk we quoted before. We started saying, Lachen Yishalach Hashem, Ha'odin Hashem Tzvokas, the Mishman of Rozen, and that brought us to the eight names of Sancheirev and of Chizkiyahu. The second half of the pasuk continues, the Sachat Kvodoy, and under his covered, Yekad Yikod, there's going to be a burning fire, Kikod, there's going to be a burning, Kikod Esh, like the burning of a fire. So what does that mean? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tachas Kvodoy, it means that what's going to get burnt is what's under their covered, but their covered itself is not going to be burnt, meaning their clothes. Why is clothes called covered? Rabbi Yochanan used to call his clothes my honorers. You wear clothing, and therefore people honor you for what you're wearing. So therefore, when Rabbi Yochanan understand that their bodies were burnt, but their clothes stayed intact. Rashi, by the way, mentions on the pasuk that this was a reward for the fact that Sancheirev is the king of Ashur, who is a descendant of Shem. The bulk of his army also, therefore, are descendants of Shem. Shem and Yefes, we know from this week's parasha, covered up Noach. Therefore, Shem's reward is that their clothes were not burned, that they kept their clothes. Rabbi Lozer says it means that literally what's under their clothes was burnt, meaning Kasreifas ben Aaron, meaning only their neshamas were burnt. Their bodies and their clothes stayed intact. Tachas kvodoy, under their covered, meaning stayed intact. Only their neshamas were burned. Kisreifas bnei Aaron, which means they were burnt in the same way as Aaron's sons were burnt. Malahalan sreifas neshama v'guf kayim, just like they were killed internally, as we said before, that two things of fire went into their nostrils and burned them. Afkan sreifas neshama v'guf kayim, the same way over here, their neshamas were burned, but their bodies stayed intact.
This relates to the who the Aseret HaShvatim.
No, this is Sancheirev's army. Sancheirev's army was wiped out. This is how it was done.
Right.
Okay, yeah. Right. Yeah, okay, fine. Tonim Shmeid Rabbi Shor Ben Kor. Paroi Shecheirev Ba'at. My Paroi who made fun of the Eibishter personally, says, Mi Hashem HaShashma B'Koyloi. Therefore, the Eibishter punished him on his own. The Machas were brought directly by the Eibishter, in particular Machas B'chordes. Kriyas Yamsuf was done directly by the Eibishter, not through a Shliach, not through a Malach, in other words.
They shouldn't.
So Rashi says the point is that by Paray saying it himself, it's like it's less of a bizoyan. You have an important person like Paray himself speaking against the Eibishter, that's less of a bizoyan. So therefore, like the Eibishter, so to speak, gave him the honor of punishing him himself. What? Well, that's a machlokes, but anyway. Sancheirev shecheirev ayidei shliach. Well, Sancheirev also lived through this thing. He was killed by his sons afterwards. Sancheirev shenifra shecheirev ayidei shliach. Sancheirev who made fun of the Eibishter through a shliach. He didn't personally come to the walls of Yerushalayim. He sent his messenger Rabshke nifra. Kadosh Baruch Hu menu ayidei shliach. Therefore, the Eibishter paid him back through a shliach, like a greater bizoyan. Marshall actually explains the other way around.
Would that Paray, if
he had been a lesser Bizoyan, if he had done it himself, like he himself would have come. But like this, he sends an underling, like the Eibishter is not even worth me myself to come, so therefore he deserves to be punished through Malachim. Marshall says the other way around, actually, that in a way, Paray making fun of the Eibishter himself is a greater chutzpah, like you're doing it yourself rather than him. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so Marshall learns differently. Yeah. Paray himself says, who is Hashem that I should listen to his voice? Nifra Kodesh Baruch Hu Menu Ba'atmo. So the Eibishter punished him impersonally. The pasuk says the Eibishter personally, kavyachol, mixed around and then tossed around the Mitzriim in the Yam. And you have another pasuk that says you treaded the water with your horses, meaning kavyachol the Eibishter does it himself. Sancheirev, Yichtiv Yad Malachecha, Cheiravta Hashem. On the other hand, Sancheirev, where the pasuk describes that the Navi says about it, through your messengers, you made fun of the Eibishter. Nifra Kodesh Baruch Hu Menu Ayde Shliach. The Eibishter punished him through a shliach. Yichtiv Vayetze Malach Hashem Vayach Mamachne Asher. A Malach of Hashem comes and struck down in the camp of Asher. Meir Shmoyim Machamishim Elof Gemar 185,000. Yes, but it's through a Malach, not the Eibishter himself. Rav Chanina Bar Papa. 185,000. The Gemara actually points out later on Sadekei of Adbeid, the Gemara is going to point out, this isn't even the whole army, this is only the generals of the army. The whole army was much, much bigger.
Well, I mean, look,
yeah.
Huge army.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Rav Chanina bar Papa Rami. Rav Chanina bar Papa pointed out a contradiction. I mentioned before that this whole story of Sancheirim and Chizkiyahu is told at length in Sefer Melachim, and again in Sefer Yeshaya, and it's almost word for word. There's a few differences. Here the Gemara is going to focus on one of those differences. Ksiv, the Pasuk in Yeshaya, describing Sancheirim's boastfulness, what he expects to accomplish. He says, I'm going to come to Meroim Kitzai, the height of the end of its height. Uchtiv, but then in Melachim, when it tells the story, it says Meloin. That's what we have to figure out. Uchtiv Meloin Kitzai. Then a different pasuk in Melachim, when it says instead of Meroim, it says Meloin Kitzai, the dwelling place, the lodging place of the end of it. What does that mean? Amo Oitzer Roshe means both. That Roshe Sancheiro said, but Chila Achra Dira Shamata. First, I'm going to destroy the Beit Mikdash on earth, which is called Meroim, as Rashi brings the pasuk Meroim Mirish and Beit Mikdashenu. And then I will go and destroy the Moloin in Shemayim as well. Marsha understands the other way around, that Moloin means the one in Shemayim and Moloin means the one here on earth, but either way it amounts to the same thing, that he says, I'm not just going to fight against the down here on earth, I'm going to go up to Shemayim as well. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, my dichtiv, what does it mean? In Rav Shakei's speech, he says now, you think that your Eibishter is going to save you? Do you think it's against the Eibishter that I'm going when I came to destroy this place? Hashem or my Eli Allah, the Eibishter told me to come to this place, to this land. Rav Shakei is saying in Sancheirov's name that the Eibishter told me to come to this land and destroy it. The question is, my he? Where do we ever find that the Eibishter tells Sancheirov to destroy Eretz Yisrael? Like this, the Shama the Navi de Ka'amar. Rav Shakei, or maybe Sancheirov, had heard the Navi saying in Nevuah as follows, in Yishai. He says, Ya'an, because this people, the Jewish people, have rejected the water of the Shiloyach, which flows gently. Because this people, the Jewish people, have rejected the water of the Shiloyach, which flows gently, and instead they're happy to be ruled by Ritzin, who was the king of Aram, and Ben Ramayahu, who was the king of the Ten Shvatim. So what does that mean? Amar Rabbi Yosef. So the Gemara is interjecting before we get back to where we see that Sancheirov was told to destroy Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara interjects, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Il Mole Taguma Dehai Kra, if it weren't for the Targum on this pasuk, like Havayadina, my comment, wouldn't understand. What does the pasuk mean if they rejected the water of the Shiloyach? It means, the Targum translates it, Chalaf, because instead of Dekot Am Ha'adein B'machot HaDeveis David, because this people has rejected the rulership of Beis David, the Medaber Lahoin Ben Nayach, who treat the Jewish people gently, who lead the Jewish people gently, kimei shiloicha, like the water of the Shiloyach spring near Yerushalayim, the nagdin binayach, which flow gently, the Isri'ihu, and instead they desire the Ritzin of Aramalia, instead they desire the rulership of Ritzin and Ben Ramayahu, therefore are going to be the consequences.
Russia.
No, well, it's Sancheirov eventually, that's going to be. So now, why, Taka, what do they have against Chizkiyahu? Amar Rav Yechanan, my dichtiv me'eras Hashem beis Rasha. What does it mean? A pasuk in Mishlei says, a curse of Hashem is in the house of a Rasha, unveit tzaddikim yivorach, but the dwelling of the tzaddikim will be blessed. Me'eras Hashem beis Rasha refers to Zep Pekach Ben Ramayahu. This refers to Pekach Ben Ramayahu, this Ben Ramayahu from the previous pasuk, who was the king of the Aseret HaShvatim in Chizkiyahu's time. He would, just for dessert, he would eat 40 saw of pigeon. He was a glutton, in other words.
Wow.
On the other hand, the dwelling place of the tzaddikim will be blessed. The chizkiya, Melech Yehuda, this refers to chizkiya, he would eat a small amount of vegetables by a meal. So therefore, in other words, like the people said, oh, what, Oichmer, a king, he eats so little, that's a king, yeah, a king should be something like Pekach, or a glutton over there. So therefore, the pasuk continues, V'lachain, Yeshayah continues, V'lachain, therefore, because the people would rather be ruled over by Aram or Pekach or whatever, therefore, Hinei Hashem, Ma'al Alem, Esmeah, Nor HaTzum V'Arabim, therefore, the Eibishter will bring on them the waters of the great and powerful river, namely Esmelech Asher, the king of Asher. Uchtiv, and the pasuk continues, V'cholach b'Yehuda shota fa'aver, he'll pass through Yehuda, he'll sweep through and go through, ad sabar yagia, until he'll reach up to the neck, like water that's reaching up to the neck about to drown. So we see, in other words, there was a pasuk implying that Sancheirov is going to actually go and try to conquer Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, Rav Shakei, in a speech, is arguing that the Eidrish did, gave Sancheirov authority to do that. So we'll leave off now. For Ma'ariv, and we'll discuss tomorrow to tackle where did Tzenchetiv go wrong, tackle what is there that he shouldn't have done. Sounds like he was sent by order of Hashem, but on the other hand, the fact is he was punished, so what?